tuned in to Red Pill Hardcore, Double Dosage After Show, Double Dosage After Show, After Show, After Show,
After Show,
After Show.
Yes. This is the Double Dosage After Show. I'm your host, V. And on the line, we have here with us, well, we have Rob D. I do believe we have Melvin Punch.
Yes, sir, here.
And we have Joe. So, it looks like we already have callers. This must be a very interesting topic. So we will go ahead and go straight to the phone lines, guys. Line one, Gregory, California. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello, sir. You have a question or comment?
Yeah. About what topic are we expounding on thus far beside the one world order that is prevalent in our one world divide and conquer society that, wear the mask. Do you wear the mask, B?
I have a ninja mask I wear. Actually, yeah.
What mask do you wear? Do you wear it in public?
Yes, I
public.
Do.
Public?
As a little kid, I always wanted to be a ninja. So I'm taking this opportunity to role play and be able to do that. I can actually walk around in my ninja mask and get up, and nobody bats an eye. It's the most normal thing in the world.
I've always wanted to...
I don't want to breathe the chemtrails.
Or one of those V for Vendetta, you know, the... what's his name? That mask.
The Guy Fawkes mask. Yes.
Guy Fawkes, yeah. So, I mean, that's so apropos to what's going on in our so-called reality, if you want to make it that. Yeah, I choose not to make it that reality. I'm far removed from that, that paradigm, that poo-poo, that BS, and that's what it really ultimately ascribes to, is just bullshit, and you know that, and I know that, and everybody out there in this lovely paradigm that we're talking to know that. And if they don't, they're the ones that are trying to create that, which is not. And it's not death and destruction and all the viruses. I mean, it's like I've been watching the Titans, you know, the Clash of the Titans. And that's what it's predominantly about. It's, you know, these moronic idiots that are, you know, thinking that they're better than everybody else. They're dictating the... scenario that's going on right now. It's so redundantly perverse and putrefied. It makes me want to vomit in my own vomit, if you don't.
Well, sir, you most definitely have a way with words, I can tell you that.
I'd like to
have done that. Gentlemen. I got t-shirts, underwear, and socks.
I can't disagree either.
And a jock strap to go along with it. But I speak a lot of different languages that I don't even comprehend myself. But the language I do speak to you right now is as truthful as I can expound it, and it's not that truthful because this language that I have and we speak is all predicated on a big, fat, flippin'-ass lie.
All right. Do you have a question for our guest today? Did you have anything that you wanted to direct towards him?
Yes. Yes, I do. And towards you and everybody else in this fabulous listening audience that we have. Oh, and I love everybody in the audience. Oh, they're so magnificent. But the question I want to ask, just a simple question. Just why? That's it. Why?
Just why?
Go ahead.
Why? Because they can.
One simple question is why?
Because they can. Or because they see a profit in it.
No, anything that makes money, anything that makes money is going to be attractive. Pretty.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, caller. Thank you for calling in. We've got to move on here. I do believe we have. Okay, let's go to line three. Caller, you are on the air. Who was that, Fred? Go ahead, Fred.
Davey.
Hello, sir.
Thank you. Great interview, by the way. Your guest is obviously most knowledgeable and competent in conveying this knowledge. I recall an interview that Jesse Ventura did 3-4 years ago with a rather brilliant, I guess I would have to say a quantum physicist scientist who takes credit for developing voice-to-skull, or what this is called,
You're talking about my friend Dr. Robert Duncan. Yes, okay. I've actually done a presentation with him for MIT last year. Oh, yes.
I'm sorry, V. I didn't get that episode. I thought that would be a good one to bring up to your guest. Also to your guest.
Yes, Brain Invaders is the name of the episode that you're speaking of. Yes.
Okay, Brandon. All right. So
Brain Invaders.
Okay. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not good with names.
Technology. Yes.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Now, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You want to know the mechanism of action of voice-to-skull technology? Okay.
I was going to suggest sympathetic resonance with the brain frequencies.
No, it's not even that. They tried that, and it failed miserably. They tried it with radio frequency. It failed miserably. Acoustically, what you can do is you take one frequency, let's say 18.5 kilohertz, which you can generate on a sound editing program on your computer. Put that in the left channel, okay? And then on the right channel, take something that's, let's say, 10 cycles per second higher than that, okay? And that's going to bring you out of any kind of alpha state you're in so that you're aware of what's going on. Now, you modulate that with a voice, okay? Now, you don't hear it in your ears, but your ears, the cochlea, the internal mechanism of your ears, demodulates the sum, the difference, and both frequencies. And you're looking at the difference frequency. So what you're going to have is a 10 hertz bias offset, okay? And you're going to have the voice or the tone or whatever you want to send the person, okay? which will be demodulated by the auditory system in the human ear. It's going through. It's 400 times more efficacious in water, because it's 400 times more dense, and it's but in the air, it's very easy to set this up, and you know it's very easy to do it. Okay, you can have voice-to-skull technology, and it doesn't even have to be targeted. You can hit a wide field with it, because sound waves, you know, travel outward. All right, and you don't need a lot of power either. So that's the only one that I know about that actually worked. All right, and I've worked on all kinds of weird stuff. That's the only one I know that actually worked. And it's very similar to the infrasound, but it's modulated infrasound. Your body does demodulate it. If you use the right frequency separation between the stable carrier and the modulated carrier. So you can use the stereo amplifier, left and right channels, plug it into a couple of tweeters, and bam, you've got it. You can set this up down the road from somebody, and literally they'll start hearing things in their head. At least it'll keep them from sleeping. And if you keep somebody from sleeping for 8 days, they'll go insane. They'll become psychotic. Okay?
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Now, that's a segue to the next query I have. Frank Allen, who precedes V every night, he did a cast regarding entitled UK Mind Control. This was probably 12 weeks ago. UK Mind Control, in which he described scientists in the UK as well as America who collaborated in a technology that has come to be known as Tetra. And I recall him describing a microwave frequency range of something like 1 to 3 gigahertz being pulsed at 17.6 hertz. And this is to be deployed in the UK by October, and they've totally relinquished their UHF law enforcement communication equipment, and they're going with this Tetra stuff. What do you know about that?
Okay, what happens is if you pulse something off and on at just the right frequency, basically your eyes are, your occipital lobe is sensitive to that, okay? And at microwave frequencies, yes, it does penetrate the brain and it can influence the occipital lobe. Now, at about 18 times a second, you can't tell if something is over there. The frame rate of a television signal. You're seeing 30 times a second if you're watching an old analog TV, okay? You can't tell the difference unless you move your head suddenly, and you might see the interlace, all right? Now, you go down to about 18 and 17.5. That's right at the edge of you being able to distinguish individual images from a continuous motion, like a film or a television, a television signal that you're watching on television. All right. Now at that point, yes, you can absolutely influence people with that. I don't know to what extent, but I know it's been tried, and that microwave energy does penetrate the brain and the occipital lobe, and of course your retinas are, you know, basically unprotected, as is your pineal gland. So I would imagine that they were concentrating on that by pulsing it at that particular frequency, because it's so close to the edge of your perception between motion and non-motion. You understand?
In fact, one of the quotes from one or both of the scientists that Frank Allen cited in this research is that they could take someone who is normally totally laid back, easygoing, and, virtually in an instant becoming a vicious barbarian. And so they express concern over that. By the way, 5G, I heard, maybe V, you heard this as well. In the UK, I think it was last November, December, October, whatever, they deployed 5G in some paramedics vehicles. I think there were two. And within a month, everyone that had been, you know, accompanying these vehicles, they died. So I don't know the source of that coming out of the UK, but it definitely was startling. And although I also should mention, the guest has heard this, last July, Brussels fired up their 5G system, and in whatever time frame it was, hundreds or thousands of birds fell dead from the sky. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up here is maybe your guest remembers those bizarre fires in California that started, I think, in 2016. And this woman, Deborah Tavares, StopTheCrime.net, she and some other people out there started holding meetings with people in these areas like Paradise, and a number of them had captured cell phone photographs of lightning bolts that were extremely anomalous and coincided with these the initiation and promotion of these raging fires that were absolutely unimaginably hot, and they were melting engine blocks, porcelain tubs, sinks, etc. One side of the block would be totally wiped out, vaporized. The other side was fine. Trees were burning from the inside out. Also, I should bring up on a major talk show broadcast, this fella cited congressional hearings from 09 and 10, 2009-10, in which executives or engineers from companies that manufacture lasers and other technology, and it's been patented specifically for weather modification, and they cited, as does this Deborah Tavares, cited a CIA memorandum from 1960, something to the effect of climate control, weather warfare technology, and something about NASA 2025 controlling the weather, and that was from a CIA memorandum in 1960. I mean, you know, it's astonishing. It's absolutely. Oh, by the way, Michio Kaku, that was September 9 of 2017. This morning with Charlie Rose, and the guy Kaku is going on and on about these trillion watt lasers. And they had to interrupt him because they kept telling him, oh, you mean allegedly in the lab, after he had already stated, we have proved that we can bombard the atmosphere with trillion-watt lasers, and we can cause monsoons, yada, yada. And they interrupted him, oh, no, allegedly in the lab. Oh, yes, that's right, in the lab, but we really believe. You got to go back and hear it. It's absolutely comical. Okay, so this stuff.
Well,
lasers,
I want to let you know.
Lasers.
Well, you're presenting somewhat of a combined comment and question. Yes, I'm aware of all the stuff. I actually covered all the stuff in my documentaries.
Wow.
Targeted individual documentaries. I have seven of them. Yes.
I'm going to have, when I get my smartphone reactivated, V, I'm going to check them all out. So I'll let you go. I just had to bring that stuff up. Thanks for your time.
You know, thank you very much. And yeah, and shout out to Frank Allen out there, who is my comrade in exposing this whole target individual crime that's being perpetrated on us by the establishment. I'll just say that. So, yes, any thoughts about these things swirling about your head there, Joe?
Oh, Obi, I'm sorry. There's somebody else named Joe here?
No.
Okay. I thought you were addressing me. As far as the birds falling out of the sky, now birds are very unique because they navigate using ferromagnetics. All right, and they align themselves to the Earth's magnetic field. A little piece of iron, literally, in their brain. The brain's very, very small, and it's basically there just to control their body. Okay, and if you pass a radio wave over any type of conductor, all right, metallic conductor, all right, as long as it isn't high enough temperature to reach a Curie point where it stops being conductive or able to create a magnetic field around it, it's possible that a subharmonic got picked up and scrambled their navigation. All right, the people dying in the car is that's anecdotal, and you know, unless it's happened to, you know, a dozen people and it's all been reported, well, you know, I have dismissed that. The terawatt lasers don't exist. They just don't exist, okay? Not even in the laboratory. There's a limit, all right, to what you can do with a laser repeatedly, all right, if you want repeat firing. All right, the one that I described was 10 to 12 megawatts, and it's self-destructed in space, okay? So, you know, it would fire for, you know, maybe 5 or 6 seconds, and it would self-destruct. But, even a billion watts is a lot to ask outside of a laboratory. All right, you don't need that much in a focused beam. If you're going to spread the beam around, or if you're going to use multiple lasers, yeah, there's a possibility that you can mess with the weather, but you don't know the exact result. Also, I'd like to point out that the laser wasn't invented until 1961 by Howard Maiman, all right, at, you can look into that. You can do research on that. The exact time that they were using microwave amplifiers, masers, all right, significantly lower frequencies below the visible light spectrum, all right, when they were talking about weather modification. And that would coincide with what HARP is alleged to have done in the past when they were using it, you know, for testing the ionosphere. And mainly for communication by laser, by visible light laser to submarines. Okay. So that's all I have to say. They're able to be modulated. All right. Lower power visible light lasers are able to be modulated from a satellite for communication submarines. What else he got into? I can't really address it all. Okay. But, terawatt lasers are they're 1,000 years away, okay, unless there's some kind of breakthrough, and I'd probably know about it.
I wanted to comment.
I have a question about the possibility of oxygen deprivation through a 5G signal. We're hearing a lot about how it's creating dead zones where people can't breathe. We're hearing this because of the oxygen.
Right. This came up on another show, all right? And it's because one of the frequencies in the 5G spectrum that they're considering using, okay, is either the fundamental frequency or one of the lower odd harmonics, the third or fifth harmonic of it. is resonant to the free oscillating frequency of a hydrogen atom. It doesn't create a depletion zone, all right? Because oxygen is always paired. It's always O2 in the air, okay? I think that's basically hearsay, all right? It's anecdotal, and it's because somebody looked up the free resonant frequency of oxygen and compared it to the 5G bandwidth and said, aha, there's a correlation here, so it must be doing something. It must be breaking the atoms apart and splitting them back together. You'd need more power than any of these antennas, even combined, even if they were phased arrays of antennas in a parabola. You couldn't generate enough energy to break the electrostatic bond between two individual oxygen atoms. All right, the power is so decreased as it travels through the air. All right, you wouldn't even get a corona around. You would see it. You would see it around the outside of the antenna. You would see a corona around the outside of the antenna constantly if this were the case, because that's where they're close to being harmonically related, and that's where their most power is, okay? And half of that power is diverted back, is automatically sent back down into the semiconductor and is just wasted as heat energy, okay? So, as far as oxygen deprivation zones, no, I don't think so. Particle beam weapons like lightning, things that can produce lightning. Now, I've seen them try stuff like that. It didn't work. It didn't work, as far as I know, up until 2019. They did try it, and it was very, very uneventful. Didn't do much of anything. So that's what I know, and that's what I can tell you. I have no dog in this fight, really. All right. I'm telling you, validated scientific knowledge from papers and reports and general topics of discussion. So, yeah, that's about it.
I would like to comment, I wanted to congratulate you on a wonderful show, and I'm quite impressed with the high level of intelligence of your guest and your host, your esteemed host, and yourself, V. And it also reflects in the intelligence in your listening audience. Some of those questions that the call-ins were proposing were quite intelligent. So, but I did have one question about the 5G towers and this report that I had read relating to a 5G tower that was constructed nearby a school, and quite a few of the children in the school came down with all sorts of cancers over a period of time. And I wanted to ask Joe if he said it can't be used as a weapon, but is there a possibility that there's an increased risk of cancer because of 5G?
Not directly from 5G signal. All right, the power lines, they use three phase, anywhere from 11 to 33,000 volt power line to run these towers. And if it's and very often power companies will run noisy, dysregulated 60 cycle per second, or in Europe 50 cycle per second. Power, raw power into the transformers that are then converted to a lower voltage and a higher current and rectified to use in the 5G towers, okay? But you're talking about power lines that were either moved or were existing before, and then somebody noticed 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 kids getting cancer clusters are always associated with power lines, and they're at a very, very low frequency that does sweep right through your body, and it's an extremely high voltage. All right, there's a ferocious amount of electromagnetic energy from power lines. Even a 3,300 volt line, I would not want one running in my backyard. All right, and they get the property cheap because it's either, you know, a county-owned or state-owned property. So they lease the a tower and the power lines that feed the tower from the state. They lease the property, and it's a lot of times it's near a government office building or a school. And yeah, you can get it from power lines, but not from 5G directly. All right.
That's okay. Feasible, but I'm not sure. Because I think the lines were existing previous to the installation of the 5G, and there was no noticeable.
Right, but they weren't continuously powering a tower that probably has, you know, 200, 300, 400 watt transmitters. Okay. Now you get power supply. You know, you get slight variations in phase on the lines, and you get a ferocious magnetic field, eddy currents running through the ground, all sorts of stuff. Stuff that upsets cows. It can throw sparks, and there's no doubt in my mind that that's what's affecting the kids. All right, and they shouldn't be placed near school. All right, they should be limited to the number of antennas, the antenna arrays, okay, and the amount of power they should generate, and they shouldn't be pulsed off and on. Absolutely not. Okay, that's where you can run into trouble when they're pulsed off and on suddenly, where the power is increased and decreased very suddenly. Other than that, the signal itself is very, very pure. It has to be. It's phase lock. It's a triple phase lock loop and tone decoder circuit in there that you know, it'll set the frequency to 0.0001 cycle per second, okay? Because you're shifting the phase, of two non-harmonically related subcarrier waves, all right? And you're picking the data off of the phase shift position, okay? It's phase shift keying, okay? It's not frequency shift keying, all right? It's not QPSK either. It's multiple variations in phase, as little as 1.7 degrees, all right? We'll give you a 1 or a 0 for that particular stream of data, all right? That's why you can put tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of separate carriers on the 5G signal, okay? It's the Nyquist theorem, you know, it's limited to half of the frequency. The bandwidth is actually limited to half the frequency. So, but the AC power lines running the whole show is what the deal is. And maybe they were carrying power anyway, okay, but it was distributed. Now you have something that's on all the time, so it's always providing power to that transmitter, to that group of transmitters. All right, and they always have to be powered on with a carrier wave. So therefore, the power lines are overstressed, and they can produce nasty, nasty effects. And it's been studied over and over and over again, all the way back to the 60s. Okay, power lines have been, an issue. And I definitely agree with you on that, but it's not because of the 5G signal per se, it's because of the power lines providing power to it.
Well, thank you for explaining that to me. The previous caller mentioned about the spontaneous fires in California, and we've had the same effect occurring in with the bushfires in Australia. Can you relate any of that to maybe a direct energy weapon, something that they could use to direct a, you know, energy beam to a certain location and start these fires spontaneously? Do we have a weapon like that?
We do. We're directed energy weapons are used primarily on battleships, all right? A few on tanks and one or two on certain types of aircraft, all right? It used to be only lasers were used for targeting, like Pave Spike and stuff like that. You've heard of that, right? Pave Spike? Look it up. Pave Spike. Operation Pave Spike, all right, which is, it's gone now, but the directed energy weapons have a real problem with atmospheric conditions, so they're not that reliable, you can't punch something in from outer space and hit the ground with a visible beam and expect it to do any damage. Okay. And you wouldn't, they tried doing this stuff in laboratories. You know, under ideal conditions, they only work about 1 out of 3 times. All right. And we're talking multi-megawatt lasers in the ultraviolet range that don't have a secondary, effect. Yeah, when you're slicing through the atmosphere, you're gonna with a laser. Yeah, you're gonna do all sorts of damage to the atmosphere on the way down. Okay, and if you're focusing it to a narrow area, yes, it is possible to do it from space or from an aircraft. But in bad weather and smoky conditions, dusty conditions, it's not practical. That was the whole outcome of what we were looking at. All right. There are things like gamma ray weapons, neutron weapons, things like that, that I can't really get into detail about that have nothing to do with lasers. Okay. Where particles are focused to one spot, but they're generally low power and they're generally used on hard targets, all right, buildings, infrastructure, things like that, and they're rarely used. So that's all I got to say about that.
Okay, well, we have another caller. Let's get to the next caller. Lion One, go ahead. I believe we have Mark in Florida. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for letting me in. I wanted to ask, because they sort of eliminated the analog signal for digital, and I was wondering if the 5G is analog or digital, and why, and it seems the analog is able to track people better, so they're kind of seized it for the surveillance state. But what is the difference between the two? And which one is more harmful or not?
Okay. All right. When you're talking about a pure digital signal, all right, you're talking about modulating the thing off and on very, very quickly, switching it off and on. Okay. Frequency shift keying. It's a method that isn't used. It's like delta slope modulation, stuff like that. It isn't used, all right? What they do is they set up a carrier wave, all right? They set up a subcarrier, and they set up a reference carrier, and then they look at the phase difference, the difference in position of the two sine. They're sine waves, they're sinusoidal. So the area under the curve is 0.707 or 1 over the square root of 2. The amount of power for that particular frequency. Now, on that exact frequency, what they do is they shift the phase of one with respect to the other. And every time you get a phase shift of 1.6 or 1.7 degrees, it's registered as a 1. Every time you get a phase shift of double that, it's a 0, and it moves back and forth like that. It's really an analog signal, but it's producing digital results when it's received by the proper equipment. The time division multiplexed analog is what we're talking about in 3G, 4G. That kind of stuff, okay, it looks at four phases. They're either in phase, they're 90 degrees out of phase. They're 180 degrees out of phase, or they're 90 degrees behind, lagging. Okay, so you can carry four conversations. Okay, and the modulation is actually, when it's transmitted, it's analog, but when it's demodulated, it's digital. Okay, and that goes for every type of communication system, with the exception, of course, of AM radio, and even FM radio works the same way. You have a signal, you have a carrier frequency, you have a subcarrier that's underneath it, okay, that travels inside there, and you look at the upper phase is amplitude modulated, the bottom part of the phase is is amplitude modulated, and you get left and right channel on a stereo signal. It's similar to that, except it's more complex, and it's more densely compact in a 5G signal, okay, or in a time division multiplex digital signal. All right, it travels as analog. It's digital signal goes in, it's converted to analog, and it's digital when it comes out. And there is no switching off and on of the carrier wave. Okay, you can increase and decrease the power level of the signal relative to the location to get the optimal range, to get the optimal result. All right, so that the data doesn't have to be repeated, 256 times for every byte you get. Okay. You don't have to do character redundancy checks and so forth. All right.
Could it be said that analog can be dispersed through the air, but digital has to travel through some kind of hardware or a wire or something like that?
Well, the digital information is encoded on an analog signal, and when it's demodulated, yes, there's a local oscillator that basically is actually three local oscillators in it and two intermediate frequencies. But when it's received by the portable device or whatever you happen to have, okay, it takes an analog signal, a radio frequency carrier wave, all right, and converts the phase shift between two signals, okay, to the various data, the ones and zeros, depending on where you're assigned, in what phase you're assigned on that particular frequency. Okay, that's the best way I can describe it. It's analog when it's in the air. It's digital when it's been demodulated and it's going to be used by the very sensitive computer chips and so forth inside your device, your phone or your pad or whatever. Okay.
So digital in the hardware, analog through the air. Thank you.
Right. Exactly. Because you don't want square waves. You don't want pulse. You don't want sharp rise times. Right. That's where you run into problems, because you generate all sorts of harmonics. Okay. You never want to do that. Early on, they did it that way. Like 300 baud, 1200 baud modems that you use for dial up, back in the 70s and the early 80s. Yeah, that was the standard. Okay, going over phone lines, a differential pair, but going over radio frequencies, you're not even allowed to do that with ham radio. All right, even in the experimental band, you're not allowed to do that in the experimental bands. Even if you're transmitting to a satellite, you're not allowed to do that, or from a satellite, and they don't do it. All right. If you switch the signal off and on, that's where you run into problems, because the signal has to settle. There's a rise time, there's overshoot, there's undershoot, there's all sorts of noise. The pulse width has to be exactly the right width, the correct width. So you're not changing pulse width. You're looking at phase shift between a reference signal and a its associated data carrier, okay, and the data carrier just moves, okay, back and forth and shifts phase in accordance with the digital data that's controlling the voltage controlled oscillator that drives it. All right, did I make myself clear enough?
Yeah. Thank you. It's a good education. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
That's what I like. All right. So, this is something that really gets to me as far as how much of this technology is moving on without our say-so. I mean... no one really knows long-term effects of, let's say, being exposed to radio frequency your entire life. No one knows the negative effects, or there's so much to be considered, because even on a level of just some sort of quantum manipulation, somewhere, some gene in our biological makeup gets turned on or turned off, you know, again, cancers, radiation, you don't know the effect some of the stuff will have. I mean, we've got people who are coming up with allergies to, you know, this Wi-Fi, radio, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I believe on a level, we are starting to reject this stuff. What do you think?
I think people want faster phones, faster computers, and faster communications, and they want access to more data. I think it's consumer driven. They wouldn't be putting this stuff up if it were not. Okay. You know, I don't know what the long term effects are. I know it's non-ionizing radiation, which means that, you know, it's not going to stick around like as if you stuck yourself with a piece of depleted uranium, okay? It's not putting out gamma particles. It's not putting out anything, you know, in the above ultraviolet, you know, X-rays, gamma rays, things like that. The harmonics are limited. You know, the odd harmonics, third, fifth, seventh, ninth, there are harmonic filters when these things are being transmitted that are built in. All right, and they're digitally controlled, digital filters, very, very precise. So I think it's a matter of I think it's consumer driven. I think people want this stuff. Okay, universities want it, companies want it, governments want it. They want everything instantaneously. The same way you're not going to wait. You take a cell phone from 5 years ago. You know, even 3 years ago, a regular ordinary cell phone, you know, running at 1850 megahertz, 1.8 gigahertz, all right? The clock oscillator in your computer is three times faster than that at minimum, all right? And it's putting out square waves. You don't know how all this stuff that's around us is combining to affect us. I don't think we'll ever know. I think we're going to have to learn our lessons as we go along. But I don't see 5G in and of itself as a disadvantage. I see it more as of an advantage to it, because you have waves that don't penetrate your body, you know, not to any significant level at a distance. And I don't think we really are. I don't think anybody is really qualified to gauge the long-term effect on either the data that's being carried and presented to you on your phones and on, you know, on what you're listening to and what you're reading about and how fast you're getting it. But there is a demand for it. You know,
people want to see. The demand is given to us by television. They tell you want this fast instant gratification, but where are the independent tests that show safety or harm? They're not funded by the people that the telecommunications companies. No, this is important.
There are studies.
We were sold DDT. Look at the harms. We were sold thalidomide. Look at the harms. We were sold.
I agree.
We were sold asbestos. Look at the harms. You know, like but we're sold the want of it through commercials and through corporations
I absolutely agree with you. And if you look at I've looked at studies that were intended, you know, that were, you know, funded by like health organizations to look at, you know, possible deleterious effects of these signals. And I've looked at also the studies by the telecom companies and everything in between. Okay. And the preponderance of evidence shows that it's safer than what we're using now. And it's going to carry, could be possibly, you know, a million to 10 million times as much data. Okay. And there's so many people screaming for it. You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Okay. But we don't know the long-term effects. We don't know. All right. Because we have to experience it first to have long-term effects. Same thing like with the school. I mean, I read about a dozen studies, and every single one of them had dysregulation on the power lines coming in, or they were over 11,000 volts per phase, right? And then it was in fact inducing eddy currents all over the place, including inside of people, all right? And when you have something that wants a lot of power, it's very power hungry, and it has to be cooled constantly. You have a higher power demand and the lower frequencies sweep right through your body 60 times a second. If you're in the United States, they go in right through your body. You can actually notice a difference. You know, if you've ever been in a power outage, you can notice the difference.
Okay. Stand under a high tension power line with a fluorescent light bulb in your hand.
It'll light up. You're absolutely right. Yeah. You can put a coil of wire and a capacitor in parallel with it, tuned to a harmonic of 60 cycles, and that thing will glow just as if it was plugged in, okay? And it's unimaginable what it's doing inside your body. It's knocking electrons off of atoms, bouncing to other atoms, and knocks the electrons off and so forth. And you don't know what that particular atom and that particular molecule is doing at the time. It might be reproducing a cell. I absolutely agree
with
you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. But you know, but the permeation, you know, the permeation of 5G is far less than what you're using in cell phones. What you're using in cell phones is basically the same thing you're using in a microwave oven. Okay.
I know for a fact that a friend of mine has a daughter in school, and they put 5G in her school. And within days, this child that had never had seizures started having seizures. And when they turned it off, the seizures stopped. So there's a lot of things going on that it needs to be investigated before this tech is forced upon us without our consent. Because it's not fair and it's not cool that just
seizure
for the,
disorder to,
the money a corporation gets, that it will allow harm to happen and bury it in a study they pay for that will disregard results that go against their narrative.
No, I agree. You know, seizure disorders are primarily from temporal lobe, all right, which is deep inside your brain. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's where it occurs, but the causation, the correlation between them turning a signal on of 5G in a classroom and them having seizures straight away. And then the seizures go away when they're turned off. That's kind of, to me, saying the stove is hot, but if I turn the stove off, I won't burn myself. But if it's on and I put my hand there, I will.
I don't know the specifics of it. I'd like to see the result. I mean, that again, that's anecdotal. It's not statistically
significant. Well, this is something that happened.
Right, it happened.
I'm saying, look what's going on.
Yeah, touching
a thorn on a rose will give you a bloody hand or cut you. No, there's not, but we can see that goes on.
Right, but the thing is, there are also people that get silicosis and things like that from a rose thorn and die from it, and doctors never figure out why. Right, I'm in full agreement that it needs more study. That it needs further study before it's completely rolled out, all right? And it should be band limited.
Okay, right? We have
60 gigahertz. I'm sorry.
I want to try to get one more caller in here for a quick question. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, is that me? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about fiber optic cable to your guest? I heard somewhere that fiber optic cable could easily substitute or supplant 5G, 4G, yada, yada. I was just curious. Fiber optic cable.
Absolutely, but you have to run the cable, see, and that increases the cost. Fiber optics can, yes, it can actually carry more data because it's carrying it on, especially multimode fiber, carries a laser, okay, of different frequencies and phases and so forth, and that's modulated with digital data, and it's way faster than radio frequency. I mean, the electron is a slow mechanism compared to a photon, okay? Photons traveling through fiber optics is very, very convenient, and it can carry lots and lots and lots of data very, very quickly, all right? Terabytes of data, extremely short periods of time. But they don't want to put the infrastructure in for fiber when they can... They can short circuit the thing and make it mobile. Okay, fiber optics, you have to have a direct connection. All right, at some point you have to have a direct connection to the device that you're using. All right.
Okay.
Now you understand what I'm saying. So you're not going to drive around with your cell phone or walk around the house with your portable phone, even. Okay. Or with a PDA or a laptop or something, all right, unless the fiber optic is first converted to a manageable frequency, they call it Wi-Fi or whatever, but it's very low, it's a very low power. It's like 150 milliwatts at the transceiver, at the box itself. And then if you're using, let's say, a cell phone, you're transmitting like 50 milliwatts. It's 0.050. Okay, not a lot of power. Not enough to do any kind of heating. Not enough to do damage. All right. Even at frequencies we're using now, and if you up the frequency, okay, from a portable device, you need less power. Okay, you can carry more data with less power. Okay, and at that point, it's not even penetrating the skin. Right, that's the only point I'm trying to make here. That there's a demand. It's demand driven. All right.
Okay. Well, Joe, I want to thank you for being an educator on my show today. We have run plumb out of time. I want to thank everybody online
for
making the show what it is. Yes. And catch us tomorrow night.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.